Well, good afternoon, good evening. It's kind of weird not being there with you. I can't see your faces and I would love to see them, but I'm truly excited that we again are together to hopefully walk through another part of our series on how to walk in the freedom of Jesus Christ. And so let's begin with a word of prayer and we'll begin to look at Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to verse 30. So let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for what you're doing. We thank you for our brother who has shared his heart about what he's doing in missions work. And we ask, Lord God, that you would continue to bless that ministry and that you would provide the resources to continue to do what you have given him, the ability, the skills and gifts and calling to do. We pray for all those that are involved, that you keep them safe, that you keep them productive, and Lord, that you keep your glory going through them. We love you. We praise you. In Christ's name, amen. I don't know about you, but years ago, I used to have a very bad car. And I can't see your hands, but maybe if you could wave your hands, if anyone ever had a real clunker of a car, and you know what they're like, don't you? Because when you have a clunker, there's certain noises that you hear and you can tell, okay, with that noise, I know I need to do this, or with that noise. And after a while, you learn to hear the noise and understand exactly what you need to do with the car. And what I find fascinating is that just like our car, sometimes we have certain noises and we understand what's going on, that there's something wrong under the hood, or there's something wrong with the tires, or there's the battery issue or the starter issue, whatever it may be. We've learned to listen to the noise to detect that there's something wrong. God has done something for us that I think is incredible. God allows us to experience certain noises of the soul to help us understand that there's something out of order between us and between him and between us and others. And so I want us to begin to think about tonight, what does it mean to quiet a noisy soul? But before we begin to think about what it means to quiet a noisy soul, I want us to begin to understand what a noisy soul is. And let's begin by looking at your notes together. A noisy soul is a mind that's bombarded with thoughts, sometimes of guilt. And this guilt is the awareness in your soul that you have done something wrong and you find yourself being downcasted. I don't know about you, but whenever I am not living the way I am supposed to live in areas, I get this inking sense of guilt and my soul can't rest until I confess or handle that guilt. But sometimes with a noisy soul, you may not be experiencing guilt. You may be experiencing what we call the fear of judgment. And what do we mean by the fear of judgment? It's an impending sense of doom, anticipating something bad is going to happen, a sense of anxiety as a result of the loud noise of guilt in your soul. And every now and again, I know that if I'm not dealing with things appropriately, if I'm not dealing with people or circumstances the way God wants me to, this soul noise gets loud, the guilt gets loud, the fear of judgment gets loud. And every now and again, when that happens, I also find myself wanting to run away. And think about it, because the noise is so loud and because we don't want to deal with it the way God wants us to many times, we find ourselves trying to figure out a way to escape this guilt and this fear of judgment. So when you think about it, when we want to understand a noisy soul, I'm sure I'm not the only one that has had these experiences. And I challenge you to think that when your soul is noisy, just like we check under the hood to figure out what's going on with our cars, perhaps we need to think about what God is trying to tell us about our hearts and our relationship with him and others. Given that reality, a noisy soul, if we understand it, is caused by trying to control the good and bad that God controls in your life instead of enjoying and enduring what God ordains in our life. Too often what we discover is that when our lives are going well, we want to control it. We want to try to hoard it and never let it go. But the problem is we don't get to control the good and bad in our lives. And if you're like me, we try to run from the bad and we don't want to face it where God is trying to teach us how to enjoy and endure what God provides in our lives. If we understand this, a noisy soul is caused by trying to reduce your life, and this is very important, to what you want, what you think you need, and living by what you think is right, resulting in living either a life of self-indulgence or a life of self-righteousness, resulting all in self-centeredness. One of the most fascinating things, if you think about it, whether a person is self-indulgent or self-righteous makes no difference. It's all self-centeredness. And when that happens, you're reducing your life to you. And when you reduce your life to yourself, it creates a noisy soul. But one of the things I want you to think about is, we were to break this down, in essence, a noisy soul is really trying to live a life without God, resulting in a preoccupation with your own cares, a preoccupation with your own riches, a preoccupation with your own worries, and the standards that you have set, leading you to being weary and heavy laden in your life. Thus, we have a noisy soul. Now, how many of you have ever, because some of you may not ever know about this, but there used to be a thing called a chalkboard. I know that many of us are young. We've never probably even seen a chalkboard. And there used to be a thing called chalk. How many of you in the room are old enough to remember actually having a chalkboard with chalk? And do you remember the guy? And it was always that one guy that the professor would tell to come to the board. And when they'd come to the board, they never knew how to really write well with the chalk, and it would make that squeaky sound. Does everybody know that sound? It was so agitating. It used to drive me crazy. And what I thought about is this. That's what a noisy soul is like. It's when a person holds the chalk in the wrong way, it creates a noise that is so annoying, just like when we don't live our lives the way God wants us to. It creates a noisy soul. So if we were to think about it from a big picture, a noisy soul is basically a soul that is downcasted, that is doubtful, that is devastated, that is divided, that is devoid of peace as a result of seeking to live a life without submitting to God. Well, the Bible has something to tell us about how to quiet a noisy soul. And I pray that as you are listening to these words from our Lord, our King, that they will begin to challenge you to think in your own life, if I have a noisy soul, what is God trying to teach me? Where is God trying to lead me? How do I quiet this noisy soul? I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to, again, Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to verse 30. And I want us to walk through this. And as we walk through this, we're going to see the prescription for a noisy soul. And then we're going to see the promise that God tells us if we take this prescription. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, he says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Verse 29, he says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest." Then he says in verse 30, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I want us to begin to think about this as we explore verse 28 and 29. Verses 28 and 29 gives us a prescription from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for a noisy soul. The first step of Jesus's prescription for us is he calls us to come to him. And what he means by coming to him is he wants us to establish a relationship with him. And all who are tired and heavy laden and downcasted from a noisy soul, the sin that entangles us. So this call to him, this is a call to salvation. And so for many of us, we'll discover that we have a noisy soul because we've not submitted ourselves to the person and work of Jesus Christ. And as a result of not submitting ourselves to the person and work of Jesus Christ, our souls are noisy. We don't have the peace that God wants to provide for us. But for many of us, we've already committed ourselves to Jesus Christ. So the issue is not a call for us to salvation. So therefore we would say, well, my soul can't be noisy because of not coming to him, because I've come to him. We're going to get to you in a moment. But I want you to understand in the progression of the passage, he says to us, if your soul is noisy, if you are heavy laden, I want you to come to me. He's calling us to salvation. But I want you to notice it doesn't end there. He says in the next part, verse 29, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Now, in a moment, we're going to see the difference, because notice in verse 28, he will give you rest. But in verse 29, you find rest. There's a distinction between getting rest and finding rest. And we're going to understand what that means in a moment. But I need you to understand that in the progression of the process of quieting a noisy soul, God first says, come to me. It's a call to salvation. And then he says, take my yoke. And what is he talking about in taking the yoke? This is a submitting to Jesus Christ in discipleship. This is a call to sanctification. For you and I, we must understand that if we want to quiet a noisy soul is loud between our salvation and sanctification. And therefore, as we're dealing with the noise of our soul, there must be an evaluation first. Have I come to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? And if I have, then why is my soul noisy? Perhaps there is something happening in the realm of sanctification. One of the things I tell people all the time when they are going through difficulties in life, I will say to them, have you considered that in this difficulty, maybe God is trying to teach you something about his character that you need to embrace? Have you considered that in this difficulty, maybe God is trying to show you something about your character that needs to change? Have you considered that in this difficulty, perhaps God is trying to prepare you for a better service? But until you come to terms with these realities, perhaps your soul may stay noisy because there's something about his yoke that he wants you to take. There's something about his life that he wants you to walk in. And the question is, are you walking in that reality? And so the first part of the passage, he says, come to me, a call to salvation. Take my yoke, submit to me. That is a call to sanctification. Now, notice in the passage that in this call to sanctification, he tells us two things that he wants us to learn about him that I think is important for us to begin to think through, so that as we learn these things, these are things that God would want us as saints to not only understand about him, but to understand that we would need to practice from him. So notice he says in this verse, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Two things we see in the passage that he wants us to learn. He says, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. I want us to think about this for a moment. This gentleness is a willing submission from the heart to the rule of God over your life without grumbling or resisting, a willing submission to the agenda of God. Now, the question you have to ask is, how easy are you to submit to the will and ways of God? How easy is it for you when God does something different than what you want, or God allows you to have something that you don't want, or he doesn't give you what you want? How gentle are you? Perhaps you're discovering in your life right now that there are some things that you're wanting that you're not getting, and there are things that you're getting you don't want. And instead of accepting what God has allowed and submitting to his will in the process, you are resisting and you are having difficulty, not because you don't know what to do, not because you don't have the power to do it, but perhaps it's because you're resisting following God in his sovereign plan. God says, I need you to learn from me that I am gentle. I need you to have a willing, submissive heart that I can take you wherever I want to take you. I can allow things in your life and you will accept what I'm doing, knowing, remember from this morning, that I have your best interests at heart, that I know exactly what I want to do to bring about the greatest glory and the greatest good to your life, that I'm in control. And God is calling you and I, as those who've already come in the salvation, to our sanctification of learning and developing a willing and submissive heart. But notice also, God calls us to learn humility. What does it mean to learn humility from him? It is a willing disposition from the heart, a willing practice of esteeming others above yourself, a willingness to proclaim the name of Jesus Christ above making a name for yourself. Jesus calls us to taking up his yoke, a call to discipleship, a call of learning the reality of walking in humility with him. One of the things that I think about with this is a story is told of these two men who were candidating for a church. And as they were candidating for a church, one was a younger guy, very knowledgeable, just coming out of seminary, filled with a lot of insight and ready to take on the world. Another guy was an elderly guy, a little bit older, who kind of understood life a little bit more than the younger guy. May not have had all the training that the younger guy had, but was, you know, equipped enough. And so as they were candidating for this church, they shared with them, the text that we want you to preach from is Psalm 23. So the younger guy got up with all the energy and gusto and excitement, and he began to do a wonderful exposition of Psalm 23. He broke down every Hebrew word in the passage, and he gave all of the historical elements and really laid it on the people. And as he finished, the people were nodding their heads and saying, you know what? Sounded great. Didn't quite understand what he was saying, but I really appreciate his knowledge. The more elderly preacher got up, and he began to preach as he was talking to them. And as he was preaching and talking, he began to break it down with such simplicity. He began to expose the reality of the passage in ways that there were people crying. There were people calling out, wanting to be saved. There were people wanting to move towards repentance in their salvation. They wanted to move into walking rightly with God, if you will, because they had fallen short in some areas, and they wanted to confess and come and walk rightly with him as they had fallen short. And the younger man went over to the older preacher and said, listen, I'm not trying to be arrogant, but I know I preach that better than you. What is your secret? The elderly man looked at him and said, son, you know the 23rd Psalm, but I know the shepherd of the 23rd Psalm. God is calling us not just to have a knowledge about him. God is calling us to know him, to become like him, to be useful to him. There's a difference between intellectual understanding about God and the experiential understanding about God. Many people can articulate the grace of God, but some of you have experienced the reality of God's grace. Many of you can articulate the sovereignty of God, but some of you have come to experience the reality of his sovereignty. The prescription for a noisy soul is to come to Jesus Christ, salvation, to take up his yoke, sanctification, to learn from him that he is gentle, that he is humble in heart. If we were to summarize it this way, we must come to Jesus to receive salvation. We must walk with Jesus in Christ, Jesus Christ, in our sanctification. Let this really resonate with you. We must learn the Lord's nature out of love and seek to relate to him accordingly, letting the mind of the master be the master of our minds. Ladies and gentlemen, if we want to quiet a noisy soul, it's not going to come by medication. Medication may lower the noise, but when your problem is not a physiological problem, it's a problem that needs the Messiah. Medication can't do what the Messiah can do. And many of us have noisy souls, and we're feeling the pain from our noisy soul, and we're trying to cure it through that which is physiological, when the cure is that which is immaterial, and that is through our soul, as we allow the Lord our King to take over and to guide us where he wants us to be. So far, we see in this passage that we understand a noisy soul, and we see the prescription for a noisy soul. I want to encourage you that there's a promise, and I want us to really unfold this promise, because if we look at this promise for a noisy soul, I think it will help us not only personally, but it will help us to begin to think about people that we care for who are having noisy souls. So let's go back to the passage. He says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, in the giving of rest, I want you to understand that this giving of rest has to do with the saving work of God. And so in this saving work, there is him coming to us. We coming to him, he will refresh us. He will revive our souls from spiritual death to spiritual life through salvation in Jesus Christ. This can be defined as what we call peace with God. Legally declared right with God, this is the rest given at salvation. So think about it this way. What Jesus wants to do for you and I, who don't belong to Jesus Christ, there's a difference between peace with God and the peace of God. So for those who have a noisy soul, we have to determine, are we talking about peace with God or peace of God? Romans 5:1 says that when we are justified by faith, we have peace with God. And so the initial rest that we are given is that salvation rest. God is no longer angry with us. When we come to him, he revives our souls from this spiritual death to spiritual life. He gives us everything we need to be transformed, and he changes our position and our condition, which gives us the peace that we need initially to walk in a life of peace that we need practically. So notice the passage says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But verse 29 says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest. Now, what do we mean by finding rest? In other words, this finding of rest, it's a inward tranquility that we will find from God while one performs the necessary labor. What are we saying? If we walk rightly, there's a relief from anxiety and trouble. There's a relief from the pain of guilt as we walk in the progressive sanctification in Jesus Christ. This rest can be defined as the peace of God. This is the tranquility of soul that is the result of following Jesus Christ. This is the rest that is gained through sanctification. Now, I want you to think about this, because one of the things, as I am a shepherd and I do biblical counseling, the one thing that everyone lacks when they come to me for counseling is peace. Now, the reality is I have to help them discern what kind of peace they're lacking. Is it the peace with God that they're lacking, or is it the peace of God that they're lacking? And what I'm trying to determine is, am I dealing with a person who does not have a salvation in Jesus Christ, or am I dealing with a person who has a salvation and they have peace with God, but because of some sin in their life and some areas where they're not willing to surrender their way to the will of God, there is a lack of peace of God with God. And so I have to listen closely. And where I see that the peace with God is the issue, I give them the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I begin to share with them, if you want to be delivered from the penalty of sin, the power of sin, if you want to stop this noisy soul, you must give yourself unto one who wants to transform you and give you a new position and give you a new condition so that you may know him, that you may become like him, and that you may be useful to him. But if I discover that this is an individual that has put their faith in the person and work of Jesus Christ, and there's a lack of peace, then I know up front, somewhere in their life, they have stopped learning and living what God wants them to learn and live. Somewhere in their life, there is a not being guided or guarded by the Spirit of God and the Word of God. Somewhere in their life, in their thoughts, their motives, their desires, in their communication, and their behavior, and the way they're relating to others, somewhere in their life, there is unrepentant sin and why they don't have the peace of God. And so notice, there is rest given at salvation, which is your peace with God. There is rest gained through sanctification. And the one that you can never lose is your peace with God. Some of you should be shouting right now, because the reality is your salvation is secure. You will never lose peace with God. So for you, saint, when there is a lack of peace in your life, it's not because of a lack of salvation. It is because a lack in your sanctification, and God is trying to get your attention. And think about it this way. How much would you deal with sin as a Christian if you could have peace in sin? God has to disrupt your heart so that you can see that something is out of order between you and him and you and others. And so therefore, where there is a lack of peace in your life, it's either peace with God, a salvation issue, or the peace of God, a sanctification issue. And Jesus is saying to all of us, come to me, I will give you rest. Learn of me, you will find rest. Paraphrase, come to me and you will have peace with God. Walk with me and you will have the peace of God. And so notice in this passage, these are two promises that we receive, but I want you to continue with me as we walk through this together. And verse 30 tells us something, and this is powerful. He says, for my yoke is easy, burden is light. What in the world is Jesus talking about? When he says, my yoke is easy, he's telling you and I the agenda of discipleship that he has for you and I. It is well fitted for us. It is adapted to fit us. It will suit us. We can walk in it. And watch this. His agenda for us is well fitted that when we do it, God's purpose is fulfilled in us and through us, resulting in pleasantness for us and glory to God. You know, if we understand that his yoke is easy, it's like seeing it from this way. God has so tailor-made this agenda for you and I that if we were to adjust our lives to his, we would find that, yes, there will be difficulties in life, but we can work through those difficulties because we have someone working inside of us. We have someone working on us. We have someone working through us. We have someone with us who promised to never leave us nor forsake us. And so for you and I, this yoke is easy. This way of discipleship, it is well fitted for us. But also he says in this passage, my burden is light. What does he mean by this burden being light? He's saying to you and I that the load God has for you to carry in terms of the demands of discipleship will not be more than what you can handle. It will be bearable and not burdensome. You will be able to carry the load without it weighing you down. Now, we need to understand in this reality, we will always have to handle people and circumstances. But we cannot control people and circumstances. We can only control ourselves. And as we are surrendering to our great God and King for his salvation, we will have peace with God. And as we surrender to our King in sanctification, we will have the peace of God. And watch this. If peace is from God, then people and circumstances can't give it to you and they can't take it from you. So therefore, where there's a lack of peace in your life, it's not the people, it's not your past, it's not your parents, it's not the predicaments that you're going through. Where there's a lack of peace in your life, there is a lack between you and God. And once you figure out where that is, you can have the peace that transcends all understanding. It first starts with peace with God, and then it ends with the peace of God. And the only peace that you lose in life is peace of God. And the handling of that is confessing, repenting, and replacing. As you confess your sins, he says he is faithful and just to forgive and cleanse you of your unrighteousness. As you repent and turn away by his power and put to practice what he wants you to put to practice, you are now living and learning according to his will and good pleasure. And he has given you the power to do so. Therefore, you can always experience the peace. I found this to be a reality. If you are a Christian, there are only three reasons why you are not obeying God. Because remember, the same power that raised Christ from the dead is within you. Remember, at the point of salvation, you put your faith in the person and work of Jesus Christ. You have the Spirit of God that's a seal and a guarantee. You have the Spirit of God in you that gives you the power to put to death the deeds of the body and to fulfill the requirements of the law, which is to walk in love for him and love for others. So therefore, you have everything you need to live a life of godliness. So therefore, for the saint, when there is disobedience, it's either lack of knowledge, I didn't know, lack of will, I did not know how. Lack of skill, I did not know how. And then thirdly, lack of will. I just don't want to. So when you see yourself as a Christian, think about this. Am I not obeying because I don't know? Am I not obeying because I don't know how? Am I not obeying because I refuse? Depending on the answer you give, in every case, there will be a noisy soul. And once you figure out what it is, as you line up with the power of God within you and live out what God wants you to live, you can have the peace of God. The story is told of this man who took this long walk, and he had these sacks of potatoes on his shoulders. And as he was walking and trying to get to his destination, this was out in the country, a friend came with a pickup truck and said, "Hey, bro, where are you going?" He said, "Man, I'm trying to get home." He said, "Okay, I'll tell you what. I will get you home. Sit in the back of the trunk, sit in the back there with your stuff, and I'll get you there." So as he jumped in the back, was carried along the way, his friend that was driving looked in the back and noticed that the man still had the sacks on his shoulders while he was sitting in the back of the truck. His friend said, "Hey, bro, put the sacks down. I'm going to carry you the rest of the way." Many of you right now are carrying a load that Jesus said he would carry for you. And I want to encourage you to put it down. Let the mind of your master be the master of your mind. Surrender your life in the learning and living and loving the way Jesus wants you to. If we were to summarize this together, here's what we've come to understand. Through salvation, you will be given rest, peace with God. Through sanctification, you will find rest, the peace of God. The lifestyle and responsibility God gives and teaches and commands you to walk in will not be burdensome or more than what you can handle. It has been tailor-made to fit you. It is well fitted for you. My brothers and my sisters, if you want to walk in the freedom that Christ has given, you must quiet a noisy soul. And the only way you can quiet a noisy soul is come and get the peace with God if you have not put your faith in the person and work of Jesus Christ. And if you have put your faith in the person and work of Jesus Christ, then you need to get back to embracing the peace of God as you look at the areas in your life where you've fallen short, knowing that your God is ready and willing and wants you to come to him and get back to the learning and living out what he wants you to for his glory and your good. And you, my brothers and sisters, will find the genuine rest that God wants you to have for your souls. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you. You've given us everything we need. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are standing ready and willing to give us peace with you for those that do not belong to you, and to give us the peace of you as we get back in step by your power through confession, through repentance, and replacement to your glory and our good. In Jesus' name, amen.